Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The phone number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the program here this evening, and be sure and check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can also read a variety of articles that I have, and I'd like to point out that my latest article on there is entitled, What Has 4 Feet and Flies? I know it sounds like a riddle, but it's actually biblical, and it centers on a passage in Leviticus that talks about creeping things that have 4 feet and they fly. And what could that be? Well, actually, I got a picture of one of them accompanying the article, so you'll see that. And you'll find out that far from being an error in the King James Bible, it's actually a very accurate, a very appropriate representation of what people would have looked at when they looked at various types of flying creatures. And so you can find that in the article. What has 4 feet and flies? There's also other articles and stuff on a variety of topics that are there, and a number of other things. You can listen to past programs, as I said. I am currently, let's take a quick look here, currently up to date to this past Friday. So last week, Sunday is on there. This past Friday is on there. And going back for quite a ways back, years back, actually. And you can even go further by clicking over to the archives at the end of the list of our radio programs. And let's see, in addition to that, you can also go over to an outline, sort of a subject outline, that gives you various articles that I've written over the years on different topics, and you can check all that out as well if you go to livewithpastoral.com. There toward the top on the right, there's a little box there that says Index of Articles by me, and you'll see that there, Pastoral Guidance Suggested, and you click on that, and it takes you to an index, and you can look up a bunch of articles there, and you can find on a variety of topics. And then you can also link to our home church, and that's the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor. And you can find out more about our church there. Certainly invite you to come out and visit. We'll have more information about our church during the course of the program. Just want to let you know, a week from today, on our Sunday morning service, or following our Sunday morning service, coming up a week from today, that would be February the 15th, we have our annual church spaghetti dinner. And that's coming up, and we're going to have a spaghetti dinner at the church following the morning service, and certainly invite you to come and join us. We'd love to have you with us. You can find out more about our church. Just go to livewithpastoral.com and click on the link for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. As I said, I'm the pastor there, and it's the sponsor of this program. And there's a variety of materials that are available there as well. And so I encourage you to check that out. Just a reminder that you can actually watch our church services, as well as our Friday night Bible study online on rumble.com. If you go to rumble.com and put Richfield BBC in the search box, you should be able to find us. And so we have all those links. Just to go to livewithpastoral.com, and you'll be able to track down those things. All right. Well, with that in mind, we're going to dive into our program after a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on today. Pray that you would bless. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do and say. Pray that through the program tonight, things that we talk about, the subjects, the discussions, whatever, even the scriptures that we read, that, Lord, that you would use those things to point people that are searching to Christ and to encourage believers in their walk with you. We just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we already got a couple of people called in even before the program began. And looking at the board, looks like Nancy again is our first caller. She called in well before the program began. So she's our first caller usually. She calls in early. So, Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I know that you're as excited about the Super Bowl as I am. Joke.
You know, I have to point something out. It was due to somebody at church showing me a thing about the Super Bowl that I actually learned who was in the Super Bowl. That was this morning. And now I'm tempted to say, you know, make up teams for it. But if I remember correctly, it was and Kenny can correct me on this if I'm wrong, it was the Seahawks and the Patriots. And
that's it.
Is that right? Okay. Now, I have no idea what the score is right now. I assume they're still playing. Well, before you say anything, before you say anything about scores, the question was asked, who do you think should win? And they showed me the thing and they said, they were saying, I think that the Patriots should win because it's the 250th anniversary of the United States. And wouldn't that just be fitting if the Patriots won? And I said, well, it seems reasonable to me. And then somebody else spouted out with, well, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to have the environmentalist wacko method of picking the Super Bowl winners or any football game, any ball game. He said you had to do it from the environmentalist wacko perspective. And by that respect, the Seahawks should win because, after all, Seahawks, well, that's a raptor. That's a bird of prey. It's an endangered or at least threatened bird. And of course, they're threatened by who? The evil Patriots. So obviously, the environmental wacko pick would be the Seahawks. So, but at any rate, I do think it would be kind of poetic if the Patriots did win. Now, having said all that, no idea what the score is. What is the score?
Okay, the Seattle Seahawks are ahead 29-7.
Well, it looks like the environmentalist wacko pick is the one that's going today. Right. I don't know. I don't know.
There's only 4 minutes left in the game, so it looks pretty secure for the Seahawks. And the only reason I'm for the Seahawks is that my Christian niece, Erica, who lives on the West Coast, she's a huge Seahawks fan. So I've been rooting for the Seahawks, but I really don't care, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, this probably constitutes one of the longest bits on sports that I've talked about in the last 12 months. So since the last Super Bowl, maybe, I don't know. This is going to sound terrible, but where are the Seahawks based at? Where were they located?
Seattle.
Oh, well, that makes sense. On the coast,
and
yeah, by the water.
Patriots are on the East Coast.
And where are they?
New England, so...
So
they're totally opposite.
Somewhere up there.
Country.
Yeah, opposite sides. So
it's nice weather. It's about 65 degrees. They're playing in Santa Clara, California. So it was sort of nice watching. I mean, I just watched a little bit of it. Anyhow, to get to my subject tonight,
yes,
which I don't think is terribly important, but I just wanted to know if you knew anything about Nicki Minaj. There was such a big headline that she made this statement that she was President Trump's biggest fan, and mm-hmm. she even got invited to the White House. But you know what? I couldn't find hardly anything about her. I couldn't find any of her songs to see what she sounded like. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about her or if there's any significance in this campaign, because I did find out that she, I think she used to be a Satanist, like in 2012. Only this one article said that. And now she's speaking very openly that most of the Hollywood stars, which I do agree with, are Satanists. And she's really exposing them that they're, you know, pro-death, they're not mm-hmm. life, and she has a pro-life position. So I wondered if you knew anything about her or what her music sounds like. All I found was how you could buy her songs, but I couldn't hear any of her songs. So thank you.
Well, I mean, I know she has come out about Trump, and she, I was going to say, I know she came from kind of a, I guess for lack of a better way, somewhat of an R-rated sort of music genre,
okay.
I think it was. Give me just a second here. She's come out. I know she seems to have done a 180 on a number of things here. And, yeah, rapper, she was I just was trying to figure out some of this stuff on her because she was out there a while back, I think. And basically a rapper, songwriter, sometimes called the queen of rap. And she sold over 100 million records worldwide. So, I mean, she's been around for a while. She was the first female rapper to have a solo video reach 1 billion views on YouTube. So a number of things like that. But as you said, in recent times, she's kind of switched a little bit more over in her political leanings and shifted toward the right and really embraced Trump, which a lot of people have been surprised at that. She was, mm-hmm. you know, certainly been involved in the music industry, the entertainment industry. And yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of Satanism and things like that in the entertainment industry in general, not just the music, but all throughout Hollywood and different things like that. There's been other people come out and said certain, you know, similar things. In fact, I remember seeing Roseanne Barr interviewed by Tucker Carlson some time ago, where she was mm-hmm. making some pretty wild claims about things going on in Hollywood and throughout the entertainment industry. So every once in mm-hmm. a while, someone will come out talking about it. That's not to say that everybody that's involved in the music industry or the Hollywood, you know, entertainment industry's into Satanism, but there certainly is a large number of them there, just like mm-hmm. there are in a lot of other areas that we have. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say one little thing? I don't know if this is true or not, but this one article said, it was a very, very short article, it said that she used to be a Satanist herself, but now she's exposing it, and she's done a complete U-turn, 180. So the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, would apply. Now, I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but her... If it's true that she's left Satanism and exposing it and, you know, seeing how evil it is that so many Hollywood stars are embracing it, mm-hmm. wouldn't 2 Corinthians 5:17 apply? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. But I'm not saying that she is a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but she's done a 180 on the pole. I guess this wouldn't really apply. I have no idea, you know, if she's a Christian or not.
Well,
but I just know that she embraces a lot of Christian ideas.
Yeah, apparently she does identify herself as a Christian, but I mean, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. I mean, the Grammys last week, you know, how many people up there, you know, dropping F-bombs and making disgusting terrible. Statements and all that and say, and I want to thank my God. Well, who's their God? You know, I want to thank Jesus, you know, stuff like that. But And so a lot of them identify as Christian, but, you know, I do think a number of them, they're going to be in that group that when they stand before the Lord and they say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Recently, though, and this is something here that I guess has come up, is that recently she's become an advocate for religious freedom and for the protection of persecuted Christians around the world. I don't know. I mean, it's, let's see here. Here's an article here. Let me see what this is, what this has to say, if I can find it here. Let me follow this little link here. And this is an article that says, Nicki Minaj says she's reignited her relationship with God. Excuse me. Uh-huh. And, says that, oh, got all the ads that are coming up, and I want to get in the way here, and I can't, see the, there it comes. Yeah, Nicki Minaj says she's reignited her relationship with God, and then has her, then a thing saying, where have you been? And this was in Christian Post, I believe, of all places. Yeah, the Christian Post had this in back in December. December, this is dated December 22nd. And she says that she has recently reignited her relationship with God and with what inspired her to speak out for persecuted Christians, suggesting that her rise in the music industry made it more challenging to maintain the spirituality of her youth. And she had participated in a conversation with Erica Kirk, of course, the widow of Charlie Kirk, during the Turning Point USA's America Fest convention, last month in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. But it basically says that she's identifying with what she claims to believe when she was younger, where she went to church. Yeah, and here's an interesting thought, and I don't know what kind of church she went to, but here's an interesting thought. You know, the Bible talks about raising up children, you know, and hopefully when they're older, they won't depart from it. And sometimes the idea is that even if they seem to stray for a while, eventually they'll come back. And I just, going down through the article, I guess, because it says that initially, I guess she was born in Trinidad, and then her grandmother, I guess, would make her and her siblings go into a room and pray when they would fight. But later on, she came to New York and said around about 10, 11, 12 years old, she was in church every week hearing the Word of God preached and was trying to apply it in her life. Says she was baptized at the age of 13. And this is what it gets to what I had heard about her. It says, while she admits that she's imperfect and she's known for explicit records, that's why I said that she's like R-rated or more or worse records. Mm-hmm. She says she still tries to apply the teachings of faith to her life, but the career in the music industry made it difficult to maintain a relationship with God. She says, sometimes I would wake up and feel so far removed from fellowship. Says, I used to go to church Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 3 days out of the week. Then later on your life, you become busy. You start thinking that God is in my heart, but then sometimes you can be in an industry as well that pulls you away even more. And she goes on to talk a little bit about this, but I don't see anything here that addresses whether or not she dabbled in Satanism. The big thing that I'm getting just from gleaning through this Christian Post article is that, you know, she had a knowledge. I mean, I don't know what type of church she was in. Was it a Baptist church? Was it a Methodist church? You know, was it a Catholic church? Mm-hmm. And she claims to have had a relationship with God, but as she got involved in the entertainment industry, it was harder and harder, and she drifted further and further away, and which is entirely possible. Maybe she had an understanding, but just not saved, and the Spirit of God's trying to move her back. But I guess now she is trying to walk a more conservative, more conservative lifestyle, more Christ-centered lifestyle, more, you know, Christian. So I don't see anything in here talking about being born again or anything like that. So maybe there's other people who know more about it. You know, I mean, I just know of her and what I've just found out some of the stuff here. But I do know that she has drifted more to the conservative side, and apparently it's also been influencing some of her followers to become more conservative. So I hope that's the case. And I hope that it influences her followers to look more to the Bible and to, you know, to Christ. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. But any rate, I don't know all that much about her. You know, I certainly wasn't certainly wasn't somebody that I followed, but we'll see what happens here. But
well, thank you very much. I'll tell you, you found that a lot more than I did. And I spent quite a bit of time trying to research her, but couldn't find out very much.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
You know,
I think you've covered it really well.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a clue on researching some of these things. We were having a discussion on AI at church a couple different times. And I liken some of these AI things that you can find online as to being like a research librarian at the library. You know, remember back in the past, it used to be like a research librarian. You go up to her and you say, I've got a school report. Yeah, you got a school report due on whatever. You know, where can I find information? And she would show you where information, what encyclopedias to go to, things like that.
I used to research librarian all the time.
Yeah.
I spent so much time in the library.
Yeah. Well, think of the AI like, you go to the major search engines, you know, like, for instance, here's Google, and you can put in a question, you know, who is Nicki Minaj? And it'll give you the traditional Google search, but if you look at it, you'll see up on the side where it says AI mode, and if you push the AI mode button, it'll dig up a lot of the stuff, and then it'll actually give you things that you could go to where it'll suggest other topics, you know, related to that. And
I thought that would be artificial because it's AI mode, so I never paid attention to
it. Well, think of it as a research librarian. You know, the AI stuff can do wonderful things, but the problem is too many people depend on them. And, you know, it's just like college students and even high school students that write papers and they have an AI do it. Well, they're not learning anything. They're hurting themselves in the long run. I remember I had a teacher when I was in high school, an English teacher, who said the way to be able to write bad well is you have to be able to write good first. And so when you know how to write good, you can then write bad in such a fashion that it's actually works, you know. And it's the same with music. In order to be able to do bad music good, you have to be able to do good music first. And there's a lot of truth to that. It's just when you learn the basics, then you know what you can push, what you can change, what you can alter, and still come up with something that's you know, effective in accomplishing what you want. And I would say, in order to effectively use AIs, you should know a little bit about researching things first. And then once you know that, then you can go to the AI and you can treat it as a resource, not something you're dependent on, but something that you can use for help. You can do the same thing with like Gemini or Grok or ChatGPT or something like that. Problem is, people get to where they treat AIs as if it's a real person, and it's you know, it's computer algorithms. It's like a souped up you know, search engine, except that it does more, and you know, it can be a good tool.
Why would they call it artificial?
Because that's what it is. It's not a human being that's doing this research for you. The computer system is doing the research. It's going through and it's it's putting it all together. And you know, you can easily become dependent on AI. You can write whole books with an AI and not even one human author. But really, AI goes and scours the web, the internet, and it assembles bits and pieces from here and there and puts it all together into something, following certain rules and things like that. There's a lot more to it, of course, but
you know what? I was equating artificial with like saying this is a lie, artificial. So that I was making a wrong application. I was jumping to conclusions.
Right, okay, right.
Thank
I mean,
you for explaining. So actually, artificial just means it's not a real person.
Right,
something artificial.
Right, exactly.
Oh, thank you.
And try it a few times when you're on different search engines, like Google has that. If you go to, give me just a moment here. Here is what is this one here? This is. Can't even see the name of it, but
taught us to use DuckDuckGo.
Whatever your search engine is that you are, many of them have a thing on there where you can put something in and let an AI, you know, get an AI search of some sort on it. If you can't find it right away, you can go to like Gemini or even if you go to Google and then do the AI. You know, have the AI search it, and you'll get a feel from what it is. You know, there's just a lot of things that you can do with AI that saves you time. Just like that stuff for Nicki Minaj. You know, I found it in just a couple of moments. Whereas if I did traditional searches, I would have had to type in Nicki Minaj and President Trump, you know, and go through that and look at this and look at that. The AI sifts through all those articles and then sort of summarizes little bits and bullet points
That's
for you.
Amazing.
So, yeah, give it a try. You'll it's amazing what you can find.
Thank you very much because I had the wrong idea about AI.
But always remember, it's not perfect, no more than asking the research librarian. The research librarian might try to direct you in the wrong direction, and AI could as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But
always have your eyes open. That's why it's good to know how to research and look stuff up before becoming dependent on AIs.
Okay, well, thank you for answering my question really well, and now I know how to research things.
Yeah, well, give it a try and see how it works for you.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, no
God
problem.
Bless you.
All right, thanks. God bless. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to be taking a break here in just a couple of minutes, but we're going to be with you until midnight tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. As I said, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we will get you on the air here hopefully this evening. And let's see, we got we got 3 minutes. I guess we can get Terry on here for just a few moments. I'm sure we'll be holding Terry over for the break. But Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening. We got a break coming up in probably about 2.5 minutes, so we'll just get you on here for a moment, and then we're going to have to take a break. So, but good to hear from you tonight.
Seattle. I was going to say, breaking news: the Seattle Seahawks won the game.
You know, I look at that and I remember back in my college days, and I was telling somebody at church tonight. I said there was a group of us, we could have cared less about the Super Bowl, and this is back, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and we had a day room in the dorm, and they had a big TV in there, and yeah, it would just be packed with people when it was a Super Bowl, and a couple of us would be going by and seeing them all in there, and you know, never would have done it, but we would say things like, you know, I wonder what would happen if one of us went up there and pulled the plug on the TV right about now. Think we'd make it out of here alive, or do you think we can get to the door before they catch us? So, but that's for everybody that was backing the Seahawks, I guess they're happy. So it matters not to me.
Yeah. I forgot. I usually watch it every year, but I forgot all about it.
You know, I actually went to a Super Bowl party one time, once in my life. I actually have been to a Super Bowl party. It was when I was in the Air Force. I was stationed in England, and I just got there at the beginning of January. My roommate, you know, he wanted to, you know, get me out and familiar with the things and meet people and all that since I was new. And he said, oh, there's a party. Some friends of mine who live off base are having a party. I didn't know it was a Super Bowl. He just assumed that I knew that it was a Super Bowl party. I had no clue that it was a Super Bowl party. And they were playing it on the British TV. And so we went over and we got there, and they had some food and they had the ball game on. And I'm like, oh, man. At least they had good food. I did meet a couple of people. But they had good food. So, hey, we got a break coming up. We're going to take a short break here. And we will be right back. We've got another hour and a half to go. We've got Terry's going to wait for us here. And I hope if you've got a question, you give us a call as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. It's until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9000. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, our Sunday night programs, our Friday afternoon programs. All that's available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also read a variety of articles that I have. Latest article, just put it up this week, this past week, What Has 4 Feet and Flies? And it's based on a supposed error in the Bible, which really isn't an error. It's actually a very accurate passage in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 20 through 23. What Has 4 Feet and Flies? You can check that out at livewithpastoral.com. Of course, you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of our program, and I'm the pastor there, and we'll have more information about that in the course of the program tonight. But also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And, well, let me just recommend that you give them a try and let them know that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you come to our Friday night Bible study, chances are you'll get a chance to try some fresh. Or if you hang around the studio like Kenny does, you can have some left over. So
yes, he usually brings on Sunday nights. Do not dare try to intercept him at the door. That is mine.
There we go.
We don't need you hanging around the studio. That's but it's my pizza.
It's Kenny. Now, see how defensive he gets in there over that pizza.
And it's good.
That's delicious. Right. It's good. And he's
it's 3 days
about,
old.
Yes, leftover pizza. It's well, I guess now that you've eaten it, I could tell you this.
Uh-oh.
It's not been in my refrigerator since Friday at night. It's actually been in our mudroom.
Which is probably about 35 degrees.
And that is colder than the refrigerator. I had a bottle of water in there that froze solid the other night.
It was
30 degrees in there the other morning.
I thought it took a little longer to warm it up.
Yeah, we had some cold weather, and our mudroom doubles as a walk-in cooler, or on some nights like a walk-in freezer, I think. But better than the refrigerator, I guess. But
your batting average is through the roof now.
We're getting up there. We missed that one.
We've had 6 Sundays, and we weren't here for one of them.
Yes.
So out of 5?
Yeah, I only missed
Sundays,
one.
You missed one. So that's 80%.
80%. I'm getting up there. Yeah. One point I was 100%. Then I fell 50%.
Wasn't it one day?
Yeah. I fell to 50%. I recovered to about 66%, 67%.
Oh, now, you've been on the up since.
I'm up to 80%. I'm getting it up there. Getting it. Well, anyway, but it's that good.
It is.
It is that good. It's amazing that, in fact, I had some before coming to the radio station tonight. And just popped it in the microwave, heated it up for a couple of minutes, and it comes out almost as good as when it was first made. It's unbelievable how it can do that. But that's how good it is. East Coast Pizza, give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And they're located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. All right, well, we're going to move back to our callers tonight, and like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can give us a call, and we've got Terry who's with us here tonight. Terry, welcome to the program again.
Yeah, thank you.
Always
glad to call in and talk.
Yeah, well, glad to have you.
I was going to bring up something about the Bible, but I was watching a documentary tonight on mm-hmm. Arafat on Yasser.
Oh, Yasser Arafat. Interesting person, yes.
And apparently he won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, yeah. He won Nobel Peace Prize because he introduced the world to, you know, the suicide bomber. So, you know, what better reason to give him a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Nobel Peace's Prize.
But, he was the devil of disguise.
Yeah, interesting person. You know, the leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO. And of course, you know, he was a Palestinian, except that he was actually Egyptian. Because, you know, people who call themselves Palestinians there in the Gaza Strip area and all that, they're various, basically, ethnic Arab groups. There's no ethnic Palestinian group out there. They died out with the Philistines back before Christ was born.
And he made peace with Israel.
And of a sort.
Of a sort,
of a very limited sort. You know, I was going to say, he wanted to have a two-state solution where there would be a Palestinian state, an Arab state, an Arab Muslim state, I should say, and then the Jewish state, which was going to be much smaller than it is right now. And Israel, at least once, maybe twice, actually agreed with him. They accepted his demands, and as soon as they accepted his demands, he changed them. Because he was never interested in peace. Never.
No.
It was all a big smoke screen. He was a huge con artist. He was also trained partly by the KGB, you know, the old Soviet Union days, and a very, very horrible person.
Yeah, and he made peace with Israel, the president of Israel. Prime Minister of Israel, sorry, Yitzhak Rabin.
Rabin, yeah, Yitzhak Rabin.
Rabin.
Yeah.
And they went to Bill Clinton, and when they were there, after they had their talks, they were shaking hands with one another,
mm-hmm.
with the leader of Israel and
right
and Arafat. And that, I think that was a big mistake.
Well,
like making peace with the devil.
Yeah, and like I said, it was a semblance of peace because it never really was, because they never did stop the terrorist activity.
No,
which he was very much a part of. He also became a very wealthy man because he learned early on that terrorism is a good way to make money. When you're it's kind of like a pyramid scheme. When you're at the top of the pyramid, you make tons of money, and it's the people down toward the bottom of the pyramid that are the ones that get blown up.
Yeah, and a lot of people there ended up losing their lives because of hunger.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, he was living high off the hog.
Oh yeah. I never understood fully how he managed to maintain a 5-day growth. He always looked like he needed to shave, but a lot of that was all calculated, and you know, the media catered to him, and Yitzhak Rabin, you know, he was trying for peace. I think he was kind of, you know, led down the primrose path, so to speak. You know, it wasn't a real peace, but well, they were trying to get what they could, but Arafat never wanted real peace because he maintained his power and increased his wealth on the backs of the suicide bombings and terror activity that took place.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know, a lot of people thought he was the Antichrist, if I remember right.
Well, he certainly had a spirit of Antichrist.
He definitely was a spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah. I don't know if there have been too many, you know, like for instance, Christian leaders that would have pegged him as or tried to think that he might be the Antichrist, because he really didn't have, you know, a lot of the qualifications, but certainly he. Actually, there are people who thought that Bill Clinton could have been the Antichrist. You know, after all, he's he's bringing a peace deal to the Middle East. And same thing with Jimmy Carter with the Camp David Accords. Remember that back in the 70s where he got Anwar Sadat, the leader of Egypt, and Israel together. And, of course, Anwar Sadat was assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood as a result of that. But, yeah, so it's been a lot of turmoil there.
I was always against Bill Clinton doing that, bringing peace to Israel that way, to the West Bank, or to the West Bank.
Yeah, well, it's the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, the whole area there. And, you know, what a lot of people forget is the whole area of Israel, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and modern-day Jordan was set up under the Balfour Declaration about 100 years ago. It was set up just over 100 years ago at the end of World War I. It was set up to be a Jewish homeland. And there was a lot of unrest amongst the Arab Muslim population in particular. And as a consequence, the British government peeled off about three quarters of the area set aside in the Middle East for a Jewish homeland to create land for peace. And they peeled that off and they called it Transjordan, because it was on the east side of the Jordan River, and everything west of the Jordan River to the Mediterranean was the Jewish state, is to be the Jewish homeland. And so that's where Jordan came from, because there were no ethnic or, you know, Jordanians. That's just a term, a name made up because of the Jordan River. In 1948, when Israel declared itself a sovereign state, Jordan and the other Arab nations surrounding Israel attacked Israel, and Jordan came across the Jordan River and seized the West Bank territories. And that's how they became the disputed Northwest territory, or the disputed West Bank territories, because Jordan seized them. And it was later, a later war, I think the Seven-Day War, where I might be wrong on that, but I think it was the Seven-Day War, where Israel won their territory back. And right. Now everybody says Israel stole it. Well, they didn't steal it.
Yeah.
And
first
yeah, and so Jordan was the land for peace, which didn't work out very well. And then when Arafat was wanting land for peace, and he was the Israelis agreed to his demands. That's what a lot of people don't realize. They agreed to his demands, and then he refused to accept the agreement, and he changed things because he never wanted peace. So him getting the Nobel Peace Prize made as much sense as Barack Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Because what did Barack Obama do? He was merely elected to the presidency, and then they gave him a Peace Prize for that. It's ridiculous. Didn't do anything.
He ended up going through two terms because of it, eh?
Or, somehow, but...
until he got mixed up with a woman.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean... Yasser Arafat, you know, like I said, the world gave him the Nobel Peace Prize because he gave the world the suicide bomber, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got him. He got it in the end.
Yeah, he died, and, you know, he certainly didn't go to paradise to meet his 72 virgins, that's for sure. If Yasser Arafat could communicate to the Arab Muslims in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank and throughout the Middle East, he would be telling them to embrace Christianity, reject Islam as the false satanic religion that it is, and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because he'd be like the rich man that told Abraham in the Gospel of Luke, what is it, Luke 18, I think it is, where he said, you know, I've got some, I'm going to turn over to it. But he's got some brothers. He said, I don't want them to come to this same place. And he was very concerned. He didn't have any concern at all about the things of God before he went there. But once he got there. This is in Luke chapter 16. And he says in Luke 16, he's talking to Abraham. He says, then in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him, meaning Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Yasser Arafat would be doing the same thing. If Abraham was still there in the place of paradise that he was at this time, and of course now he's in heaven, but if this had been Yasser Arafat, and even so Yasser Arafat, still if he could, he'd be saying, somebody please reach the Arab Muslims and tell them to reject Islam as the false satanic religion that it is and embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, lest they come to this place. That's what Yasser Arafat's saying today.
Yeah, it's so sad how many billions and billions of people end up being separated from God for all eternity because of that religion.
Yeah. And, you know, I find it interesting because when you read this account in Luke chapter 16, it says that he wanted, you know, the rich man wanted Lazarus to be able to go and warn him, go from the dead to his brothers. And Abraham says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And, you know, Jesus is telling this account here, and what happened later on? Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and still people didn't believe him, did they? Though one rose from the dead.
And even now.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
People won't believe Christ even though he rose from the dead. And but yet I'll guarantee Arafat right now, if you could hear from him today, he'd be telling Muslims to reject that false satanic religion and embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, lest they also come to the same place that he is, because he knows the truth now.
Yeah, all because of one person, Muhammad.
Yeah,
I think that I don't. If he actually exists, I don't know. But
well, you know, and you mentioned if he actually exists, and a lot of people would be thinking, well, of course he existed. But here's the thing: Muhammad never wrote anything. He was illiterate. He never left any written records behind. Everything we know about him was written by somebody else. And in fact, the entirety of the Quran. Well, yeah, Muhammad got it from the angel that gave it to him, and he recited it, and people wrote it down. No, it was Caliph Othman who decided there's too many variant readings of the existing Qurans, and some of them contradict each other. And he, throughout all of the known Islamic world of his day, he had every copy of a Quran. Partial copy, you know, whatever. He had every copy that could be found confiscated, and he burned them all, and he issued the official Quran. So how do we know he didn't make the whole thing up? Interesting thought, isn't it?
somebody definitely had a really wild imagination.
Well, I'll tell you who was behind it. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And, of course, who's the mystery of iniquity? Who's behind the mystery of iniquity? The devil.
The devil.
The devil. That's why it's a satanic religion. The devil is behind Islam.
He knows how to deceive people.
Exactly. And, you know, Allah, according to the Quran, is a deceiver. The greatest of liars. Well, who does that sound like in the Bible? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And then said what? He was a liar from the beginning.
Right.
And what did the devil do to Eve in the Garden of Eden to get her to eat the forbidden fruit? He deceived her. And he's been doing it ever since.
Yeah, and she fell right into the lie.
Mm-hmm. So, a deceiver and a liar, well, who does he sound like? He sounds like the god of this world, which the Bible identifies as the devil.
And that's why, you know, all these people out there that don't believe that Jesus is God, including the Muslims, you know, that's why they're just so deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. Don't recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world that died for us and shed his blood for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in the world to save us, not to condemn us. And they rather believe a lie than believe the truth.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is the thing. They don't believe that Jesus is God, but the devil does. The devil has no doubt that Jesus is God. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 19, James writes, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well." The devils also believe and tremble.
Yeah, and the demons that were cast out of that one person.
Out of several people.
They knew.
Yeah, several times.
They said
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the devils, like that was what's one thing that was taught in church today, is the devil, they asked Jesus, are you gonna punish us before our
time? Yeah, torment us before our time.
Torment us before our time.
Yeah, they all knew that. And remember the woman that followed, I believe it was Paul and I want to say Silas, maybe it was Paul and Barnabas, and kept saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God." And she was possessed of a devil. The devil knew exactly who they were and who Jesus was. He was trying to interrupt them from keep them from being able to speak, because every time they start to speak, she'd start shouting, "These are the servants of the Most High God."
Paul recognized that.
He
rebuked her.
Yeah, and the devil left her. And so the devils, you know, the devils have more in common, in a sense, with us than they do with atheists, because atheists say they don't believe God exists, but you're not going to find a devil that believes that. Every devil knows God exists. Every devil knows Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. They have no doubt.
Everybody that's separated from God right now knows who Jesus is.
Yeah, those who are in the lake of fire, or not lake of fire yet, but in hell. All of them in hell, everybody in hell knows that God exists. They know that Jesus is God in the flesh. All of them know that. Hey, we got about a minute left here, Terry.
Yeah, my subject I was going to bring up is John 14, a more somber note.
Well, we might have to get into that one maybe next time. So, yeah, because I had a couple things we're going to get into in the next hour as well. But maybe it was good that we got off in this. Maybe somebody needed to hear about this, you know, there is no doubt amongst the devil, even though he convinces plenty of people that God doesn't exist, he himself knows better.
He's like a roaring lion out to devour who he may.
Exactly. And, you know, another thing that the roaring lion does sometimes, which is kind of interesting, you think about it, the one lion will jump up and roar and spook the herd, causing them to stampede, and then that allows the other one laying in wait to get them. And so the devil will gladly do that, spook people so he can catch people.
And one other thing, too, is that you know, I don't believe that if you're a true born-again Christian and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't believe the devil can possess you.
No. You're right. He can control you to a degree that you let him. You know, and I know we're running out of time quickly, but think of two types of puppets. One's the puppet with your hand inside of it to control it. That would be like possession. But other puppets can be controlled from the outside with strings like a marionette.
So anybody out there says that you can be possessed even when you're a Christian.
Hey, the break's coming up. I'm going to have to cut us off right there, but don't go away.
Recently, I spoke with a doctor who was fired for refusing to perform transgender procedures on children. "I'm a doctor, not a butcher," he said. "Children suffering from gender dysphoria are subjected to risky medical procedures such as hormone therapies, puberty blockers, and irreversible surgeries, risking chronic infections, permanent disfigurement, and long-term adverse mental and physical side effects. Biology tells us that from the moment of conception, we possess either an XY male or XX female gene pair. No medical procedure can change that. The Bible says God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. Gender transitioning is an attack on God's created image. Treatment should address the underlying spiritual, mental, and emotional problems causing gender dysphoria, rather than maiming or altering healthy bodies or interfering with the natural physiological development of a child. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's pray for and protect children rather than mutilate and experiment on them. To do otherwise is mental dysphoria.